I'm glad to see that we do have an almost 10-year history of vote by mail. It's a system that works, and I highly recommend it to other states.
Recently, there have been many questions about mail-in voting. How does vote by mail work? Is it secure? How can I have confidence in our election system? To find out, I spoke with two observers of the ballot counting in Pierce County election on August 4th, Julian Wheeler and Linda Hood. This is Louisa Beal with Radio Tacoma, and I am here with two people who have a very, very important volunteer position and would like you to get involved also.
I'm Julian Wheeler. I am the Pierce County Democratic Election Observer Coordinator. I have been coordinating Democratic election observers for Pierce County elections since 2015, so for almost 5 years. People understand that the Pierce County election staff are among the best there is around the country or even the world. They are experts and professionals. They're very courteous to the members of the public. They're courteous to observers.
How does the ballot counting process work?
We're dealing with mostly what they call seasonal hires. Predominantly, there is a room in the election center, and it is full of a lot of people. It could be almost 100, probably in that range. And most of them being seasonal hires, they are the people that go through the process. They usually sit at tables. They open up envelopes, and they separate out materials as instructed, and they go ahead and process ballots, and they handle them in such a manner so as to accurately keep count and to prepare the next stage in the process. For your typical voter, there is the chance that maybe your signature doesn't match your signature on file. Now, people understand that a person's signature changes over time, and I know mine has. In fact, I can't read my own signature. That's how bad it is. But usually they have experts trained in signature identification. The staff are trained by a member of the Washington State Patrol in how to identify signatures and to see if they match signatures on record. So if a signature is characterized as signature does not match, then that starts a process where they send a letter to the voter, giving them an opportunity to sign a form and to mail it back, or alternatively to take it in directly to the election center during business hours so that the error can be cured. It's not until election results are certified that you have a final result. Until then, each day there's a report and the numbers are likely to change. And so candidates that are in a close race, they may find that their standing changes. And it kind of drives home the lesson that every vote counts. And there may be an election that's separated by a single-digit number of votes. And that's particularly where what they call ballot chasing is important. And again, that's directed to voters to cure their signature errors. So that's, again, it's a customer service-based philosophy to make sure that the voters are well served and that their votes count. And that's kind of how that part of it works.
I have another question, because you'd mentioned earlier about certification of the election. So who does this? Who are they and how do they certify?
The canvassing board will meet to certify the election. Now, the canvassing board consists of the county auditor, the Pierce County Council chair, and the Pierce County prosecutor. It is those officials or their proxies. So at various occasions, sometimes the deputy auditor or another member of the Pierce County Council, and usually there's a representative from the Pierce County prosecutor's office. As they then assemble, the county auditor is administered an oath, and they listen to a report by election staff that consists of a breakdown of the election by the numbers, including the percentage of voter turnout and They go through the various results. Sometimes they read through them, like race by race, but other times they just make, they incorporate them by reference. But that is when the release goes out, the final results are published, so the public can get that sense of, you know, what the results are. Usually that doesn't take too long. It could be up to an hour, but there are instances that the canvassing board will be presented with some ballots of which there were misdirected markings. If it was if there was an undervote, which is to say that no indications were made in a race, or if they were overvoted, in which all of the candidates' indications were all marked in, or some variation of that, and they go through a manual published by the Secretary of State to determine how best to interpret voter intent. The end result, though, is to finalize the results of the election. The public is invited to sit in, and as always, there are protocols in place to minimize the chance of coronavirus. There's social distancing. The seating is more spread out, but the public is invited to observe. You know, if you're really into elections, that's a very exciting point in the timeline.
It seems like they take each ballot very seriously, and if there's a problem with it, they go out of their way to make sure that that person is given the opportunity to correct anything that might be wrong or missing in their ballot.
We do take our role seriously, and this is, of course, of the utmost seriousness to maintain confidence in our system.
So, if someone's interested, how do they go about becoming an observer?
So there are opportunities to come in, but you must be trained in order to become an election observer. And as you are trained, there is a moment when you indicate your affiliation. And usually that sign-in takes place on an individual contact sheet, and the election specialist then makes PDF copies of those sheets and then sends it out to each coordinator. And that's when I start to communicate with people, predominantly by email, with a a note of thanks and encouragement. And by the way, here's a schedule of open slots. And people would get back to me as soon as they can and say what they can, what slots they can fill.
Gosh, you can't beat being right there and observing for yourself.
You know, one of the election observers that I recruited made the contact with you and brought me to your attention. And I wanted to acknowledge Linda Hood.
Hi, I'm Linda Hood. I moved here from New Hampshire in November of 2018. And Julian Wheeler came to one of our meetings and told us about the election observer program here in Washington. I was used to a traditional in-person election that we had in New Hampshire. You actually needed to have an excuse to vote absentee or to vote by mail, and you'd have to wait in line and drive through a snowstorm to vote. So I was very interested to learning more about vote by mail and what the system was like here in Washington. So I volunteered when Julian asked for election observer volunteers.
And from what I understand, the election center itself goes over backwards, it bends over backwards to make sure that every vote is counted.
That's one thing I really notice in Washington, that they really encourage people to vote, and they try to make it as easy as possible, that you can do the postage is paid, you can put it in the mail, you can put it in a box, and they, if you mess up and don't sign your ballot or do something, they try to fix every single ballot. They encourage voting instead of trying to discourage voting. Been very impressed with that aspect of this system.
So what does an election observer do?
You schedule your shifts with your coordinator. In my case, it's Julian. One time each election, you have to sign the oath of secrecy that you will not divulge to anyone anything that you see while you're there. We have a special badge that the color denotes observer and a special lanyard. So anyone who sees us can tell us apart from an election worker. We have certain people in charge that we're allowed to talk to. We're not allowed to talk to or distract the actual election workers while they're working. But if we have a question, we are encouraged to talk to the person in charge. We sign in and sign out when we're there. Right now, they're taking our temperatures and doing all the safety issues. And there's certain places where you're allowed to go while you're there that they make it very clear where you're allowed to watch and places where you'd be in the way and you can't be. And you just kind of keep an eye on the whole process. And it's just been very, very interesting.
So what are some of the potential problems that you might run into being an observer?
We're told in the training to, that no one can have pens on the floor. So we watch for that. You're not allowed to have your cell phone. So it's important to that people aren't recording things with their phones, et cetera. You're not allowed to have any kind of political conversations while you're there. So that's another thing we can listen for, watch for. Just as they were like opening the ballot boxes, you notice a few ballots fall on the floor. You watch and make sure that they notice someone picks them up. I think the main thing, you don't see a lot of issues where you think that something went wrong, but by making the process transparent, it increases everybody's confidence in the whole system. And I think that's one of the key aspects of this program.
Usually the problems have to do with people who, I would assume inadvertently break the rules, who start talking, who bring in personal effects into the election ballot handling room, who, begin to make excessive use of other privileges. For example, probably going into the break room and either putting in a lot of stuff in the fridge or taking too much out. But overall, sort of the problems in that case in terms of personnel, people who may not realize that they are actually crossing a line. And the one most common that they train us about is that we should not talk to the election workers, the seasonal hires, the ballot handlers, but such problems should be reported to the election specialist or above in that chain of command. Another problem is finding a ballot or groups of ballots unaccompanied or looking like they are neglected. In many cases, when that is reported to the appropriate election staff, and in a couple cases reported by one of my Democratic election observers, the clarification was is that it was within a secure perimeter and that the staff were in the process of transitioning it. But there could be instances where ballots are, as a group or singly are misdirected. But, we should always be vigilant to make sure that definitely every ballot that comes in is properly handled and counted so that everyone's vote counts. So there's a wide range of problems that could take place, but they all are able to properly report it and staff can handle it. And so, if you like sitting or standing around for hours on end and seeing the excitement that is truly subtle and looking for mistakes that are sort of noticeable, should be looked at and reported, this is the volunteer job for you.
If you are just joining us, I'm talking with election observers Julian Wheeler and Linda Hood about the process of voting by mail.
If someone's interested, how do they go about becoming an observer?
As they develop their interest, they should look out for opportunities to be trained. Training is staged by the Election Center staff. Each of the three election observer groups go out to recruit as many potential trainees as possible. I use social networking online. I email people who are Democratic Precinct Committee officers, of which there are a couple hundred in Pierce County. And I visit other party, political sites, indicating that we have an opportunity that usually would approach. And historically, Pierce County Elections has, in your calendar year, it's most often they would have a training in late June or early July. And sometimes they would actually have a pair of trainings, like right on adjacent days or in the same week. And then later in the fall, maybe late September or early October, there would be another training for new recruits. That is not the case this time around, although I should let you know that the Republican coordinator, myself, and I believe the independent coordinator, we are united in our urge to the county auditor and the election staff to put on another training this fall. But as of now, there is none scheduled.
So it sounds like that it might be too late for observers to sign up for November unless there's another training. Is that correct?
Correct. And this announcement is probably meant for those who've been observers before. If you were trained in 2019, because of the COVID crisis, the election auditor is extending the eligibility past the usual one-year period to include, 2020. But for the public, for people who have yet discovered their interest in becoming an election observer, I would say stand by. There's a good chance that they might put on another training. As of now, there isn't. But as my fellow coordinators, I like to point out, that remains to be announced. So there will hopefully be another training. So I look forward to meeting new people with varying and interesting topics of conversation. And of course, we encourage people of all ability levels to join us. Recently, we celebrated the improvements made to the Election Center and its building particularly. And this happened after a young gentleman posted on YouTube a video of the difficulties he was having at the time with getting off a bus at a bus stop that was closest to Pierce County Elections and then making his way over to the Election Center. It was very difficult. And because of his video and his activism and the help of Disability Rights Washington, and if you go to the hashtag Crappy Curbs, you could see the difficulties that people are having about this all around for all activities all around the year. But because of his activism, that county auditor and the elections department quickly made improvements to the election building and its property. It's the lot it is in. And you can go there and still see the freshly laid sidewalk and the curb cuts leading up to the election center entry. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. But we are committed to making sure that all voters and those interested to become observers in this process. We are trying to make sure that not only would everyone's vote count, but that everyone who is interested to be trained and to serve as election observers.
It sounds like from your point of view that the mail-in voting works well.
I've actually been voting for more than 30 years, despite my youthful voice. So I requested an absentee ballot in the late 1990s, and they were called absentee ballots for a particular reason. That usually required a reason for requesting a ballot to be sent to you by mail. Absentee voting has been around since the Civil War to help soldiers and sailors vote who were deployed during in a time of war to vote in their country's election. The more recent innovations, in my case, going back to 30 years, is I became active in the area of voter access, is that absentee voting required more than one signature on a form. Actually, you had to sign it in different spots, is what I mean. And usually the process involved you mailing it back, or you could even then walk it into an election center. But back then, it required postage. And it was around that time that I began to lobby as a volunteer for postage-paid absentee voting. And my personal activism in the area, and this kind of intersects with the area of my commitments at the time. And at that time, I was committed to helping young people and college students and overall new voters to be able to vote more conveniently. So absentee voting has been around. I began voting back then in the mid-90s, in the late 90s, and it was very convenient, and it served me well, and it's only really improved since then. In 1998 and 99, when the Young Democrats of Washington adopted in their platform a plan, making it a priority for young people and college students to vote more conveniently as absentee voters, I then lobbied the Secretary of State, Ralph Monroe, to combine the two separate forms at the time. They were separate: voter registration and then absentee ballot application. Those were separate forms. And it created an inconvenience, minor to some, but it was an inconvenience that I felt could make a very close difference in close races. And by June of 1999, the Secretary of State issued a form, you know, appropriately named the 6/99 form of a 12-step form. And one of the steps was to indicate if you wanted to vote absentee. And so right in one step, people went from what I called zero to voting in the quickest way possible. And so voter registration continued apace. I had, since my college days, been engaged in voter registration drives. Back in the day, I actually was trained to be a deputy voter registrar. That's something you actually had to be trained to do. And so that, you know, necessarily limited the number of people who could register people to vote. Because at the time, you just couldn't go around as a volunteer proffering the form and then turning them in. You had to be authorized as a trained registrar. And that changed in the 90s, thankfully. So there's a lot of these minor obstacles that have been taken away. And since then, taken away the postage requirement for sending in a ballot. I have a nice quick anecdote about that. After we, you know, started shifting over to vote by mail around the year 2000, by 2005, it was pretty clear that that's where the state was moving. And at a seminar at Seattle University in March 2005, after I had finished law school and that year joined the Washington State Bar, I was still interested in voter registration activism. And there was a seminar with, by then, Secretary of State Sam Reed. And I had asked Sam Reed whether the state could then shift to postage paid absentee ballot, you know, so that it could be sent in without having to pay postage, you know, because even by then people were articulating that it was almost like a poll tax, you know, where in order to get the vote, you had to pay something. And so that those sentiments were already circulating. And Sam Reed was a very genial, great guy to get along with, and jokingly said, after I made my sentiments clear, he said, "Oh, well, you're Mr. Cheapskate." And, you know, I took that lightly, and it was kind of a nickname that I wore with pride in a way. And then particularly since vote by mail has since taken on postage paid aspects, so that you don't have to pay to vote. And so I take a particular point of personal pride in having that little nickname. I had been voting since the mid to late 90s, voting by mail. And to me, there's little difference between absentee ballot and vote by mail. The only thing is that up until the 90s, you actually had to have a reason. And in some cases, there were election officials who required a doctor's note saying that you couldn't get out, or, you know, it was too difficult for you to vote at the polls. That has changed, thankfully. Vote by mail, it's almost like a way of saying it's like a no-fault registration. You don't have to say anything about what is wrong with your situation. You could just by default, you know, request an absentee ballot. And since the last decade, we have now, it's pretty much shifted now. And I'm glad to see that we do have an almost 10-year history of vote by mail. It's a system that works, and I highly recommend it to other states. It's kind of surprising that there are people who are now bringing up all these anecdotal arguments against vote by mail. Some saying, well, I won't articulate them here, but vote by mail works. And I think that it really helps voter turnout. And as a Democrat, I certainly hope that higher turnout leads to better Democratic election results. But it should be said that depending on the jurisdiction, sometimes it helps Republicans. So there's a reason for all parties to support vote by mail. And overall, the imperative here is to observe elections so that the public can maintain confidence in our election system. And of course, that is more important now than ever, particularly where compared to a year ago. I didn't expect to say this, but with the recent attacks on the mail-in voting system coming from our president and his supporters, it is more important now to maintain that confidence.
Yeah, I think that that's, that, like I said, really important that it increases people's confidence in the system. When I'm there and I talk to, you know, the Republican observers that are with me and we're chatting, they feel it's a good system and they have confidence in it. And I hope that they take that to, you know, fellow people in their party and realize that there are many, many checks and balances in our system. When the president says things like that one person could send in multiple ballots, if you've had our training and watched our all the many things that they do to verify the signatures and how careful they are, you would realize that, that's just not true. And I think if more people took this training and watched the process, they would be able to counter some of those untrue fallacies that are being talked about mail-in voting.
It seems to me that Pierce County is a model for how elections should be processed.
You know, I wanted to encourage people really to get involved. I mean, it doesn't have to be just as an observer, but that's a good start because it has always mattered. All elections matter. But even recently with the comments by the president calling into question the vote by mail system and recent actions by the postmaster, you know, in terms of how the impacts that they're having on the United States Postal Service, it's really important that we show support for vote by mail as well as for the post office, which I have sensed in the past month has increased and increased delays in delivery time. It is very important that for you to vote in an election in the state of Washington. So for your vote to count, make sure you either take it to a drop box or take it to one of those blue mailboxes you find and to get it in so that if it's by mail, it'll be postmarked on or before election day. If you go to a drop box, make sure you get there before, and I would say long before, 8 p.m. on election night. You know, having, if you do that, then your vote will be counted. And if you do go to the post office, make sure you get there early enough to have it, to have your mail postmarked on that date or hopefully well before election day. If you go to a blue box and you open it up, look at the pickup times. Some blue boxes have their pickup times early in the afternoon. So you could get to a blue box on election day at 3 or 4 p.m., but it might already be too late to get a postmark, and then your vote won't be counted. Also, understand that drop boxes are not mailboxes and vice versa. You know, you take your ballot to the drop box, don't pay your bills and, you know, and thinking, well, this drop box is good enough. Don't put your other mail in there. It's just, the drop box is just for ballots. And of course, you know, for mailbox, what I would say is, like I said, make sure the postmark is timely, but most mail still requires a stamp if you go to the post office. You know, it's just with vote by mail that is postage paid. You don't need to pay to vote. And I think that if you want help, the Election Center is always there to help you during business hours. That address is 2501 South 35th Street in Tacoma. But there are points of access or points of assistance that have been implemented by the auditor's office, which you can find at any library in Pierce County. You can go there and register to vote even on the day of. So, you know, I hope that the people listening in can take advantage of their franchise. We are also in the month of celebrating the centennial of the 19th Amendment. They say giving, I'd like to say recognizing the right of women to vote. You know, this is always, always, always an important election, and particularly now that the stakes are higher than before. Please do not take your security, your health, your well-being for granted. Always get involved, you know, and always push yourself, even if it's to go beyond your comfort level.
Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Louisa.
To learn more about our elections, contact the Pierce County Election Center. Their email is elections@piercecountywa.gov. Phone number 253-798-8683. That's 253-798-VOTE. Here's an update on observer training. The Election Center is planning on holding another training this fall. If you're interested in becoming an election observer, contact Julian Wheeler. His email is julianfwheeler@aol.com. That's julianfwheeler@aol.com. Thank you for joining us.